moron. I'm not going to get kicked out of school. Even if we got caught, so what? It's not like she's my professor and I'm blowing her to get an A. She's not even in charge of my grade. You need to chill out and grow up. 8:14 a.m. EST. Typing.
9:32 a.m. PST. Typing.
Jen to Ava. Subject. Hashtag TBT. Can I post that photo of you with the braces and the American flag tankini with the caption, "In orthodonture we trust"? Too late. I already posted it.
Ava to Jen. Subject. Re. Hashtag TBT. I'm assuming this is your social media olive branch. Mass humiliation.
Jen to Ava. Re. Hashtag TBT. Jake liked it, which means he's looking at your tagged photos on Instagram.
Ava to Jen. Subject. Re. Hashtag TBT. Shut up. I like him so much. I hope he can't tell.
7:29 p.m. EST. Nemesis alert.
You ran into Dr. Lily?
My nemesis. Alex and I were in Emerson's gender-neutral bathroom at the same time, and he said nothing.
He ignored you after you said hi?
I didn't say hi.
Then you ignored him.
No, I was already at the sink when he came up. The person to join the sink last has to say hello.
What weird knockoff Miss Manners book did your mom buy you?
My mom doesn't buy books, you know that.
I think maybe you're being an instigator in this rivalry.
You come at the king, you best not miss.
I'm just glad you washed your hands. Ava to Jen. Subject, sex? Did I do it? Did I not do it? I guess you'll have to watch / read to find out. Title card, 7 hours earlier. I hold an informal table read in my dorm's common area with Jake, Sophia, Emma, and our DP, Curtis. Emma is a theater major and plays the one other role. Jake tried to sit next to me, but I told him to sit next to Sophia so they could play off each other. He then sat very close to Sophia, which, if we're being honest, made me uncomfortable. Also, single Sophia is a lot more flirtatious than long-distance relationship Sophia. I think I saw her touch his leg. Leg is a bold move. I haven't given Sophia all the dirty details about me and Jake, but she knows I like him and that we have been intimate, exactly 2 times and with 1 semi-fancy dinner. I doubt she would really make a pass at him, but that's probably what Jennifer Aniston thought before Angelina ruined her life, and then Brad's. In better news, the reading went really well. Curtis, a junior who barely speaks, guffawed at a few of the lines, and Emma complimented me on my clever dialogue. I still need to make a few changes, mostly due to production concerns, but I think it's shaping up. Good Manners should have a wide theatrical release in no time. I think we have to shoot the final scene at my parents' house, by the way. So, there's that. And the idea of Jake meeting my dad, who will either ignore him completely or try to show off with actual magic tricks. Can't wait! The end. Just kidding! After the reading, Jake asked me what I was doing, and I replied, "Why don't you tell me?" Because I have seen too many cheesy films and like to make it hard for myself to fall asleep when there are so many mortifying moments to replay in my mind. Luckily for me, he ignored my rom-com come on and invited me over to his room to watch When Harry Met Sally. Yep, he invited me over to see one of my favorite movies of all time. If that's not true love. Cut to Jake's room. The movie is playing. His arm is around me. I lean in and whisper, "Do you think Sophia's pretty?" I'm the worst. I know. But it was almost worth it because not as pretty as you are. A few minutes later, I saw my first penis. End scene.
10:42 a.m. EST. What the actual fuck?
We didn't fuck. I thought I made that clear.
What did you do? At this point, I'm going to assume he put it in your ear if you're not more specific.
Do people do that?
Ava, cut the bullshit.
Okay, sorry. It's embarrassing.
Why? Was it crooked?
Gross. No.
There's nothing gross about that. All bodies are beautiful.
Spare me right now. I'm recovering from a hand job.
What? People still give handjobs in the year of our Lord 2017?
I thought so. Was I not supposed to do that?
Did he tell you to stop?
No.
Then more power to you.
I feel weird and also excited.
Same. Jen to Ava. Subject, congratulations. On seeing a penis! So proud of you, BB!
Ava to Jen. Subject, re, congratulations. Thank you? The rush is over, and now the anxiety is settling in like a familiar flu. Did I move too quickly? Is he going to lose all interest and respect for me? I know this is completely backward and sexist, but the media has ingrained this way of thinking in my brain, and I am not stronger than the media. It's been 12 hours since I saw him, and no contact. I started imagining that he's run off to Paris with Sophia and Curtis. Curtis is there to document the trip for later Instagram posts, and to carry the luggage. Help!
Jen to Ava, Ree, congratulations. Okay, calm down. It's been 12 hours, and I'm saying that in a casual, it's only been 12 hours voice, and not in a, it's been 12 whole hours and the missing person must be dead voice. I understand the anxiety. You're facing a whole new world of genitals and feelings. But from everything you've told me, this guy Jake likes you, and he doesn't seem to have that much going on. I'm sure he's just trying to play it cool. Or he might still be sleeping. Some people sleep past 8:30 a.m. Also, this is one dumb guy at one dumb college. No offense, but it's not even ranked that high. You have lived without him for 18 years. You can live without him for 18 more. And then maybe you'll run into each other at a supermarket, rekindle the flame, and leave your current spouses for a rocky second marriage. Isn't life exciting? G.
5:12 p.m. PST. USC is the number one film school in the country.
Emerson is the number one gay school in the country. Any contact from you-know-who?
No. I'm freaking. Emma wants me to go to the row with her tonight, but what if Jake thinks I'm stalking him?
Go everywhere but his house.
I have to go to his house. I'm stalking him.
I can't help you. Jen to Ava, subject. Not all conspiracies are theories. It's 3 a.m. Do you know where your children are? I'm in my room, a little high, and thinking about Edward Snowden. I know. I've said it before, but that man is a hero. I think I need to find him and thank him with my body. I wonder if he gets a lot of ass in Russia, or if no one cares because the Russian government is obviously corrupt, so it's like big whoop. Do you think he's met Putin? Do you think anyone has really met Putin? Is he the kind of guy you can really know? My roommate's snoring. This is a new development. I don't like it. What if I'm the next Edward Snowden? I guess I would have to infiltrate the NSA for a few years, but I'd be willing to go undercover for the sake of our great nation. I want to be a hero, Ava. Or really rich. I think it's easy to make yourself a hero when you can pay for it. I know you fantasize about accepting your Oscar and thanking your parents after falling on the steps to the podium, but I fantasize about meeting a source in a parking garage and putting my entire family at risk. I want to be great, Ava. I want to write things that change the world and walk into rooms full of people who fear me. I will have a legacy without having a stretched-out vagina from childbirth. Power to the Fourth Estate! Jen to Ava, subject, read, not all conspiracies are theories. Wow, I was so high last night.
7:12 a.m., PST, texting you from inside enemy territory.
Russia?
What? No.
Did you read my email?
Not yet. I just woke up. Did something bad happen?
Yes, to the American people. I got high and watched Citizen 4 twice.
Again?
Yep. Where are you?
Jake's room.
What the fuck?
I know. I'm freaking out. This is my first official sleepover since 7th grade when I made my mom pick me up from Rachel's house because the sheets were dirty.
Thinking about your childhood makes me sad. How did you handle frat boy sheets?
Alcohol and breathing exercises.
Alcohol? You hate alcohol.
Very much.
I need full details.
Too hard to type. His body is crushing my arm.
Kinky.
Ava to Jen. Subject. About last night. It was an evening a lot like most. Moderate Southern California air that still made me feel cold. Laughter and off-color jokes in the air. Emma picked me up at my dorm and we walked over to the row together. All the Gamma Phi pledges were going to the 9-0, but Emma wanted a break from all the other girls we were paying to be friends with. She's been flirting with some Lambda Chi guy and wanted a second opinion. Apparently, her ex was a complete nightmare, but no one bothered to tell her. Pat, her guy, wasn't quite a nightmare, but he was nightmare adjacent. He made us do shots upon entry and then tried to hand me off to one of his friends so Emma would make out with him in the corner. It was actually really sweet. They would make out for a few minutes, and then she would ask if I was okay. Then they would make out for a few more minutes, and she'd ask if I was okay. Carl, the guy I was handed off to, refused to look me in the eye and spent our precious time together checking out other girls. Within 20 minutes, I was exhausted and ready to go home. I thought about meeting the other pledges at the bar, but decided not every night of my young college life has to be fun. I tapped Emma on the bare shoulder a few times and told her I forgot to plug my computer in. Yep, that was my excuse. They don't call me One-Shot Helmer for nothing. Luckily, Emma was in such a snog fog, her word, not mine, that she didn't question it. I started the long walk of lame home only to hear my name shouted from the rooftops. Seriously, the guys at ZBT put lawn chairs on their roof, and Jake was standing up screaming at me. This was both the most mortifying and thrilling moment of my entire life. And I am including the time I won my dad a day with Cal Ripken Jr. and had to recite my winning essay in front of the other participants. I had to yell back at him to stop, only for him to scream, "Meet me in my room!" Looks like my walk of lame was quickly becoming a walk of shame before I even took any of my clothes off. I arrived at his room a good 10 minutes before him. Apparently, roof access is treacherous. When he finally arrived, I was in full-blown panic attack mode. But then he saw me and whistled, and I relaxed. Jake, drunk, is very fun. Is that bad to say? He's goofy and silly and makes it easy for me to say whatever I want without feeling like there will be dramatic repercussions. We also started kissing very quickly, which was nice. You know how I feel about pretense. Have I always fantasized about losing my virginity to a wasted sophomore in the middle of a party? Nope. But luckily, he fell asleep before that happened. I don't want to diagnose him with ED because I'm not a doctor, but there were definitely symptoms, such as his erection having a dysfunction. It was probably a one-time alcohol thing. But what if alcohol wasn't the problem, and I'm the problem? I certainly didn't look good enough last night to keep Creepy Carl's interest. Maybe I just wasn't doing it for him. I mean, there are plenty of people I'm not attracted to. Most people. What if Jake wasn't attracted to me at all, and I've just been making a fool of myself the entire time? He didn't try any funny business in the morning either. Although he was hungover, and his roommate had crawled into bed sometime and we were already asleep. He offered to walk me to my dorm, but I declined because I continuously cock-blocked myself. In conclusion, how can you want to fuck Edward Snowden? I thought you were gay now.
Gen 2 Ava. Subject, re about last night. I have so many angry thoughts, I don't know which one to e-shout at you first. But since I am selfish, I guess I will start with the one about me. I am perfectly within my queer rights to want to fuck Edward Snowden. Sexuality is like a river, and sometimes it bends right into America's greatest hero. Also, have you heard of the colloquial term bisexual? Stop trying to make me in your heteronormative image. Back to my other trigger warning. You are not the problem. Never blame yourself for the physical failings of a man. Their infrastructure is designed for malfunction. Do you think men ever sit at home and think about how they're the problem? No way. So don't waste your thoughts either. Also, I hate myself for asking, but I feel like you've conditioned me. Have you guys had any sort of talk about what you are? Do you think you want to have sex if you haven't DTR? I'm not saying you should marry the guy. Please don't marry the guy. But it might be worth having a check-in to make sure you're on the same page. I can talk to him, too, if you want. I am very good at making empty threats of violence seem real.
Ava to Jen. Subject, re about last night. I looked up bisexuality, and some leading scientists have inconclusive evidence that it might be real. JK, JK, oh my god, just kidding. Thank you for saying that thing about DTR. I've wanted to bring it up so many times, but I don't know how, and I don't want to seem clingy. Asterisk. I can't believe how enduring one comment from one summer camp boyfriend can be. I was 11 years old, Kyle. Of course I was clingy. What should I say? How should I say it? When should I say it? I hate feeling like I'm never going to hear from him ever again each time we say goodbye. I know this can't be true, mostly because he's in my movie, but still. I don't trust that he won't disappear just like every other confidant other than you. Please include specific instructions, as always.
Jen to Ava, subject, re about last night. You are on thin ice with the gay community. JK, JK, LOL, ROFL, JK. Specific instructions. 1. Wait for him to contact you. 2. Meet in a public place. 3. Ask him what he thinks this is. Make him answer this first. Do not let him get away without answering you. If he says, quote, the start of something, or, quote, I want you to be my girlfriend, you can stay. If he says, quote, we're just having fun, leave. Not abruptly, but the first moment you can do so without it being a big deal. A, if you are able to stay, make sure you have another talk about exclusivity before actual intercourse. But until that moment, just enjoy your first official relationship. B, if you have to leave abruptly, do not hang out with him ever again one-on-one. Don't be rude or ignore him. Instead, be busy. He will either change his tune or sing a song you don't want anyway. Please do not share this foolproof list with anyone. If you disobey and credit its creation to me, I will deny everything.
4:12 p.m. PST. Jake just texted me to apologize for passing out early.
Like a little bitch?
Yep. I said, no problem.
These are like modern-day love letters. I wonder if future college kids will study them in lit class.
What was I supposed to say back? NBD, want to be my boyfriend?
Couldn't hurt.
Should I ask to see him?
No, he should ask to see you. Jen to Ava, subject, in cold blood. Have you seen this? Article below. Casual Beacon Party Marred by Freshman Feud by Genevieve Goldman, Berkeley Beacon staff. Dateline, Boston. A small congregation of Beacon employees gathered together Saturday night to celebrate a well-received issue, only for the lively celebration to be interrupted by a screaming match between two Cub reporters. Genevieve Goldman arrived at said party at approximately 9 p.m. The group email cited 8 p.m. as the official start time. Kent Wenzel, Goldman's editor, was hosting the party at his home in Alston and directed his young guest and protege to the beverages. Upon entrance into the kitchen, Goldman immediately spotted fellow journalist and ne'er-do-well, Alex Cassidy. Cassidy was already a few drinks in and greeted his rumored rival with a smirk. Goldman, stone-cold sober, refused to take the bait and poured herself a modest glass of box wine before retiring to the living room. After about an hour of stimulating conversation, Goldman went to refill her glass for the third, or fourth, time and found Cassidy still manning the table. Goldman inquired if Cassidy was hired help, and Cassidy shot back an accusation involving Goldman's roommate and questionable loyalty. Rumor has it that Goldman's roommate, Shannon Middleton, is gunning for a position on the Student Government Association, SGA. Seeing as the Beacon serves as the sole checks and balances for the SGA, there is often controversy surrounding any possible conflicts of interest. Goldman, having no idea that her roommate was even running for SGA, lashed out and accused Cassidy of trying to start unnecessary trouble. Cassidy retaliated with faux concern that the Beacon's reputation would be on the line if an unreliable editor were to be hired on staff. The argument continued at increasing volume until Wenzel, Goldman's editor, entered the room and encouraged both parties to partake in the next round of kings. Goldman obliged, while Cassidy preferred to join a grating conversation about the semicolon. He could later be heard quoting Oscar Wilde from the other room. The night proceeded without further incident until Goldman was on her way to the train and spotted Cassidy a few feet ahead. Goldman didn't say anything until the two were waiting for the B-line train. She then asked Cassidy if he had a good time, to which Cassidy scoffed and rolled his eyes. Goldman then inquired if she had done something to offend Cassidy, to which Cassidy reportedly replied, "You haven't done anything to me." This unnerving statement hung in the air until the two young people boarded the train and found their way back to their dorms without further incident. What a psychopath!
Ava to Jen. Subject, re, in cold blood. Not to edit you on your journalism, but from a storytelling point of view, I found this particular article anticlimactic. The headline was clickbait, and I was left unsatisfied. Who cares if Shannon is running for SGA? Why is, "You haven't done anything to me," an unnerving statement? What do you want to have done to him? Honestly, it sounds like you want him to pull your hair on the playground so you can hit him back and then fall in love 15 years later.
Jen to Ava, re in cold blood. This isn't a rom-com. You don't understand the dynamic. 9:12 p.m. EST. I convinced Shannon not to run for SGA.
How? Why?
I explained that she'd have to go to a lot of long meetings.
She didn't already know that?
Nope. She's going to join Quidditch instead.
I no longer believe this is a real school.
Eat shit, Alex.
7:23 p.m. PST. Jake wants me to come over to talk about the script.
Come over where?
I don't know. The secret library he keeps under his bed? I'm assuming his room.
Hey! Don't take all your pent-up sexual frustration out on me. I'm the wind beneath your wings.
Can I go?
I'm told this is a free country. For white men.
But you explicitly told me I have to meet him in a public place.
Rules are meant to be broken.
You wrote those rules!
Use a condom! Jen, 2. Ava, Shannon, a character study. So I know you're probably busy making sweet, sweet third base right now, but I wanted to fill you in on what I'm doing with my night. Since offering Shannon the sage advice of giving up her political career so I can advance mine, she seems to think we are friends. I spent the last hour listening to her dissect her relationship with Baseball Mike, even though it appears to have ended weeks ago and also was never a relationship. I began asking questions about her life out of morbid curiosity instead of genuine concern, and learned that her family is even stranger than she is. Her dad, quote, works for the government, but won't tell anyone how, and her mom is clearly in love with her female best friend. They go on girls' trips half the year. Her younger brother is some sort of savant and has already graduated college, yet he works at a Starbucks? Who are these people? I think her entire family is lying to her about everything, and she has no idea. At least I am well aware that my father is an alcoholic and my mother is a classic enabler. They still lie to me all the time, but I know better than to trust them. Did I tell you my mom suddenly called me 4 times the other day? Like she randomly remembered she has an adult daughter? When I finally called back, she was reabsorbed in her second miracle child. Apparently Hope is flourishing in kindergarten and learned to express herself through finger paint. How can I listen to this sort of information with a straight face, knowing that my form of entertainment as a small kid was drawing on the wall with poop because no one was watching me? Anyway, back to my case study. Shannon thinks Baseball Mike simply has intimacy issues, and once he explores himself with a bunch of other girls, he will realize that they belong together. This journey of self-discovery includes hooking up with Shannon's lifelong friend Kelly, who goes to BU and met Mike through Shannon. Shannon isn't mad, though, because she purposely stole Kelly's boyfriend in 10th grade, and karma is real, according to her savant brother. I'm a bit pissed I've wasted $7.99 on a Hulu subscription when I could have just been watching this strange creature in her natural habitat. Peace and monkeys, Jen Goodall. P.S. I don't actually pay for Hulu. I use your account, so please don't change the password. P.P.S. When are we upgrading to no commercials?
Ava to Jen. Subject, Re-Shannon, a character study. My big takeaway from this is that your mom sucks. I hope I'm allowed to say that.
Jen to Ava. Subject, Re-Shannon, a character study. Ha! You are, but only because you're a survivor of that one awful trip to Disneyland. Rest in peace, Ice Cream Mickey.
2:03 p.m. PST. You're not going to ask what happened?
I did ask what happened.
No, you gave a eulogy for an ice cream cone.
We have an open door policy. I don't have to ask. You can just tell.
No, because then I think you don't care, and I don't like to tell people things they don't care about. That's one of the rules I learned in social skills class.
I care.
Not enough to ask.
Ava, will you please tell me every minute detail of your evening, starting from sunset onward?
No, I'm busy.
You are more work than any of the girls I'm actually hooking up with.
Aw, I love you too. Ava to Jen. Subject, minutia. So, I arrived at Jake's a few hours after sunset, but I assume you were being sarcastic about that being your preferred starting time. I did have a disgusting dinner, though. Remind me that I hate beets. When I got to Jake's room, his roommate, Tyler, was there smoking reefer. He offered me some, but I declined, since I wanted my wits about me. And part of me is afraid that I will like weed so much I will become a big-time stoner and throw my life away. We all sat and chatted for a bit. Apparently, Tyler is big on Instagram. Seems weird since he is very boring in person. He showed me a video of him skateboarding up a ramp. It had 1 million views. I can only hope it's just his supportive mother watching it over and over again. After a while, Jake told Tyler with his eyes to scram. I thought talk about the script meant make out, but he actually had a lot of notes. He thinks his character comes off as gay because he doesn't want to have sex with Sophia. I tried to explain their lack of physical chemistry and the notion of a heightened reality, but he fought me pretty hard. He said I have a hard time writing male characters since I don't understand how much sex drives the male psyche. That's when the night sort of took a turn because, one, I was super offended that he thinks I don't know how to write believable male characters. Two, I became paranoid that all he thinks about is sex, and the only reason he talks to me is sex, and I am not ready to have sex, so he will stop talking to me. I had no choice but to ask him if he was speaking from personal experience. Jake.
Of course.
Me. Are you thinking about sex right now?
Yeah. Are you?
Only because you brought it up. Have you had it before?
Yeah.
Long beat. I have not.
I figured.
And this is where I start to spiral. What about me screams virgin? Is it my hair? My clothes? My inability to talk about the act of sex without sounding like an alien attempting to mimic human behavior? Or, even worse, what if it's my hand job giving? At this point, I'm completely mortified when he says,
"You seem too busy."
What? I seem too busy? I am painfully bored 1/3 of my life, and that includes the 1/3 I spend sleeping. What would give this person the impression that I am too busy to have intercourse? How long does it take? Me. What would give you that impression?
I don't know. You seem like a serious person who is busy doing serious things. Even you in this house right now seems wrong.
How can he peer into my soul and see my deepest fears? Why am I unable to hide behind liquid eyeliner like everyone else? Me. I don't think I'm too serious. Was it not clear that this was a comedy script?
Huh. I didn't mean you aren't funny. You just have a serious personality. Like an adult who was stuck going to college.
Is that bad?
No. I like it. I'm also really mature for my age.
Then we started to kiss because I didn't know how to respond to that. To be honest, I don't find him particularly mature. Anyway, our tongues started slapping and he tried to take my shirt off, but I stopped him. What does sex mean to you?
In 3 words?
Adorable slap that only slightly misses its mark.
I don't know. It depends on the person I'm doing it with.
What would it mean if you did it with me?
I think I would probably have to try it first to know.
Another slap, not as adorable, much harder. I don't really want to do it if I don't know what this is. Lots of vague, crude hand gestures. DTR? That's not me abbreviating it. He said that out loud, non-ironically, which honestly made the entire situation a lot less high risk for me. I nodded, and then we had a confusing conversation that I wish I could relay word for word, but unfortunately, I was scrambling to keep up in the moment. I think the takeaway was that he is open to being in a relationship, but doesn't think we are there yet. But if I don't want to have sex unless we are in a relationship, we can just hang out and not have sex. How does this sound to an outside observer? To me, it seems reasonable, if not disappointing. He's not pressuring me, and he's also right. We don't really know each other that well. There is no rush to be boyfriend-girlfriend and then regret it. I think I agreed with him, and then he went down on me. And it was itchy. Starting to think my body might be broken. Send help and wisdom. A.
Jen to Ava. Subject, re, minutia. Starting to think this guy is either super evolved or heavily manipulative. The comment about you not knowing how to write male characters pushes him over into manipulative town. Please tell me that you are not going to change the script to accommodate his weak male ego. You are the writer. You have the vision. And everyone's sex drive is different. Maybe his character is gay or a gray asexual. That's for you to decide. Here is a question. Why do you even want this guy to be your boyfriend? Is it just to have sex? Or do you really like him? Chinatown Jake 98.
Ava to Jen. Subject. Re. Minutia. Those are some very good questions. And my answer is, I have no idea. How does anyone know why they're dating someone? I'm 18. I barely have a grasp on familial love. Most of my feelings and actions are completely hormonal. Or chemical. I do know that I want a boyfriend. I've always wanted that. Probably a bit too much, which is why none of them have wanted me. If desperation was a cologne, I sprayed too much of it all of middle school. The only thing that made me look incrementally cool in high school was being friends with you, something all of your other cool friends are still trying to figure out. So now I suddenly have this guy open to the idea of dating me, and I don't want to mess it up. Will I marry Jake? No, probably not. But I'm not just walking around accidentally bumping into love interests like you are. Oops, there's another one. Whoops, three-way collision. I feel like I can't risk throwing away this person because he is not perfectly synced up to my timeline. I want to talk about it with my therapist, but I'm sure she will somehow turn the whole thing into my fault. Does that sound defensive? Because I'm definitely not defensive.
5:13 p.m. EST.
Hold up! What?
How did we not talk about the other thing?
What other thing?
Tongue, 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 tongue emoji.
Jen, gross! I'm in class. I can't talk about this.
You're always in class. Open your mind. Touch yourself.
Airplane mode.
Gen 2 Ava. Subject, Minaj and Nosh. At approximately 7:55 p.m., I was returning to my dorm to continue my study of strange Shannon in the wild when Charlotte called me. Yes, she called, because she is an adult and I am a child who hit ignore by accident. I texted her back because despite all my talk, I am weak and afraid. She wrote back and invited me over to her apartment to watch a movie. In case you suffered severe memory loss, this is the universal signal for hookup, i.e. Netflix and chill. So I hopped on the train, gulped down a couple of Orbit mints, and headed over, thinking I would find her scantily clad in a non-appropriated kimono. Instead, I found her completely clothed and standing next to her nerdy friend Tom. Tom is a TA in dramaturgy because he tried to be a theater actor and failed. Tom is also super cute. I immediately like Tom. Charlotte invites me in, sneezing in the process. She's sick and wants company, so if she dies, someone will call her parents and yell at them for not being more supportive. I'm a bit confused about my presence until I realize she must have called everyone in the first few scrolls of her contacts. I try not to take it personally and instead enjoy a delicious slice of pecan pie that Tom baked. Have I mentioned that I like Tom? About an hour goes by of us talking and not deciding what to watch when Charlotte announces she needs to take a nap. It's around 9:30. Seems like that's just going to bed early, but who am I to say? She tells me and Tom not to leave because she has snacks and doesn't want to wake up to an empty house. She is still under the impression she is taking a nap. We shrug and turn on a movie, perfectly comfortable with this idea. Charlotte has a way of normalizing any and all behavior. As soon as she leaves the room, Tom asks if I want a blanket. You know me, my body radiates heat, but it seemed rude to say no. Also, I wanted to see what it would feel like for a grown man I am not related to put a blanket on me. The answer? Sexy. Suddenly, I find myself cuddling with a male stranger in my female lover's living room. I ask Tom how long he's known Charlotte, and he replies, a long time. I ask him how well he knows her, and he replies, not as well as you. I must have blushed, because he assured me that I wasn't giving it away. I'm just so clearly Charlotte's type. He knows, because they have the same type. Yep, that's what he said. Talk about a line. That worked. We made out for about forever. All clothes were kept on in an attempt at decency. We could hear Charlotte snoring from the next room. Sometime around 2 a.m., Tom untangled himself from me and the blanket and announced that he was escorting me home. I assumed that he meant he was inviting himself over into my twin bed, but he really meant that he was just escorting me home. As soon as I tried to explain to him the best way to sneak into my room without awakening the beast, he laughed and kissed me goodbye. He then announced he would get my info from Charlotte, which seems weird but convenient. Anyway, that was my night. He looks like a male Ellen Page, to give you some visuals. Also, I am currently obsessed with this song, Just Two Guys. I am guy number one.
Ava 2 Jen. Subject, re, Minaj and Nosh. Okay, I am confused. You like guys again? Or is this an anomaly? Maybe you just like forbidden authority types. That would make sense considering your gross flirtation with security officer Peters. Do you still like Charlotte? She seems a bit crazy. Who throws a party so she doesn't have to be alone when she's sick? I'm confused, but I guess I'm always confused. Please don't yell at me. A.
Gen 2 Ava. Subject, re, Minaj and Nosh. I never stopped liking guys. I'm just 90-10 at this point, and he has a very feminine energy.
Ava 2 Jen. Subject, re, Minaj and Nosh. Okay, cool. I want to be guy number one.
7:57 p.m. EST. I can see Kent's belly button.
I'm sorry, who is Kent?
Oh, I'm sorry, Kent, my editor.
Why can you see his belly button? Is he not wearing a shirt?
There's a shirt. It's too small.
On purpose?
Unclear.
Keep me updated.
I think I spotted a small piece of lint.
Unsubscribe from all updates. Ava 2 Jen. Subject, the ego and the id. I think Dr. Lily might be clinically insane. How can I tell my therapist she needs a therapist? She probably already has one who is equally useless. After my session, I looked up sadistic tendencies. They include deriving pleasure from inflicting pain, suffering, or humiliation on others. This seems about right. I can't tell if Dr. Lily is intentionally trying to drive me crazy, or if she has no idea what she is doing and therefore relies solely on condescending looks and low murmurs of disapproval. I went in ready to discuss my relationship with Jake,
and she immediately started asking me questions about my family. My family is not the problem. My family is the only reason I am still alive. Instead of spending the 40 minutes creating a strategy to move forward, Dr. Lilly wanted to know if my father put unnecessary pressure on me to succeed. Seriously? Is this your first day? I kept trying to steer the conversation back to my actual dilemma, what I should do about this person who wants to hook up and not commit, but she kept attaching merit to the fact that my dad gave away our dog. I only mentioned this as the one time my father disappointed me, and she latched onto it with an iron fist. Honestly, it seems like she probably has daddy issues. With 10 minutes left, I loudly announced that I need to talk about Jake because I can't go another week without coping strategies for this uncertainty. Gray areas make me nauseous. Anyone who listens to me for more than 5 minutes knows that. Instead of listening to my needs, she insisted that I was avoiding talking about my family. What is there to avoid? The fact that for 18 years my parents have been my best friends, current company aside, and all of my problems come from other external circumstances as well as a chemical imbalance in my brain? I have been in therapy 4 times longer than you've even been a therapist, Lily. When your patient is begging for help, help her. So what did she do? Ask me another question about the dumb dog. May she rest in peace with that terrible family in Riverside. So I left. Yep, with 8 minutes left, I stormed out and gently screamed that I would not be returning. I can't go back to her. She's making it all worse. I need to call my mom and figure something else out. I need to see an actual doctor and not someone who is barely old enough to drink. I hate this person, Jen. I literally hate her and can feel the rage surging through my body. I hope she gets fired and has her mouth sewn shut. I'm not even back at my dorm yet while I'm typing this, and it's so obvious that I've been crying. Thank God for university anonymity. Could not have survived at a small school. Oh, fuck. Here comes one of my sisters. I hate my life.
Gen 2 Ava. Subject, re, the ego and the id. Are you okay? I just tried to call you a couple times, but you didn't answer. Maybe you're talking to your mom? I'm so sorry, babe. I wish I was there so I could beat that doctor's ass and take away all her loose credentials. Can you ask for another doctor on campus? Or is it better to just see someone off campus? Either way, I think you should get all of your money back and they should pay you for emotional damages. Have you thought about going back on meds to help with the anxiety? I know you hate them, but maybe a low dose of a different kind? Or maybe, bear with me, weed? Seriously, go get a card and try a little indica. It's not even illegal anymore. And when it comes to Jake, if the gray area is driving you crazy, you don't have to stay there. Tell him to shit or get off the pot. It's first semester freshman year. There are plenty of other mediocre men out there to torment you. Love you. Get some ice cream. G.
6:43 p.m. PST. Hey, sorry I missed your calls. Was talking to my mom.
It's okay. What did she say?
That I can find someone else. It's too late to get a car for this semester. All the parking passes are taken, but my mom said she would drive me.
That's nice. Are you going to go back to your old one?
No. Tina, the girl I ran into when I was crying, suggested someone closer.
A sorority girl doesn't have a perfect life? Alert the media!
Stop. She was nice. And I'm not in one of the cool sororities where everyone has a perfect life. Those houses dropped me, remember?
Ah, yes. Pie in your face house. How could I forget? They are on my hit list. Right after Dr. Lilly.
I appreciate it. I feel a bit dumb that my mom is going to come pick me up from college once a week.
Don't feel dumb. That's a hashtag diva lifestyle. Own it.
Boy.
Gen 2 Ava. Subject, Woodward and Bernstein. In the continuing saga that is the Berkeley Beacon, Alex and I just got paired up for an investigative article about Emerson's tightening security. Rumor has it the president is taking meetings with various security companies to come up with a plan intended to limit shootings and stuff. Pretty soon we'll all be asked to walk naked through a metal detector in order to get to class. I plan to peacefully abstain and then maybe drop out. I have no idea why we're being teamed up for this. My only guess is an insatiable need for office drama. Kent, my editor, insists we need to work together to remain objective since I am anti-police state and Alex is an idiot. That might be a little harsh. He's a Boston native, and I guess the bombing really shook up his whole family. He thinks it's fine to give up all rights and privacy if it will save one life. I couldn't disagree more. What's the point of living if you don't have any rights or privacy? How can he not see that, especially when he's trans? Has he never interacted with the TSA? The worst part of the whole thing was that he acted excited to work with me. Like, it isn't obvious to everyone that he hates my guts. So then I seemed like an asshole when I immediately fought Kent, my editor, and tried to get the assignment myself. Everyone looked at me like I was petty, but I really think two reporters will just slow down the story, and students have a right to know about all of this before they wake up to drug dogs in their underwear drawer. Kent, my editor, shot down my attempt at flying solo and encouraged us to think of each other as colleagues and not competitors. Barf. After the meeting, Alex wanted to hang out to strategize, but I told him I had an early class. We're meeting up later today. I need time to figure out how to play this. Maybe I'll give him back what he's giving me, condescending aloofness. I just hope my name comes first in the byline. Kidding, it's alphabetical. I'm fucked.
Ava to Jen. Subject, re, Woodward and Bernstein. Yikes, not the best situation. My only advice is kill him with kindness. Maybe this is a test and Kent wants to see how you work with unreasonable people? Make him the difficult one. Just do your job the best that you can and compliment his shoes or something. I always compliment people I can't stand. It throws them off and makes me feel like a better person, despite the hate and judgment in my heart. You can get through this. You will get through this. What is his Instagram handle so I can hate follow?
Jen 2 Ava. Subject, re, Woodward and Bernstein. At Cassidy Kid, but it's private because he is the worst.
9:21 p.m. PST. I did a bad thing.
How bad? White girl cornrow bad? Scientology bad?
Too bad to make a joke. I ruined all the stuff.
Are you in jail?
No.
Then it's not that bad.
Can you talk?
Not really. I'm at this dumb party and I can't hear anything.
Okay.
We'll call in the morning.
Ava to Jen. Subject. Signing off. I know you are out having the time of your life, but I need to ask you a serious question. Have I always been the dumbest person you know? Or did I hide my stupidity with misleading data like a high SAT score and expensive clothes? I feel like the world's biggest moron and... as such, I am also the last to know that I am the world's biggest moron. Last night, I started freaking out about the whole Jake thing. We are shooting the short next weekend, and I felt like I needed to have a better handle on our relationship before working together in front of a group that includes my parents. We already had plans to hang out tomorrow night, but I couldn't wait that long for clarity, so I texted him. 7 times. Turns out, not a lucky number when you're a girl with zero fucking chill. He finally responded that he was just getting out of a late class. I told him to come over because Jessica was out, which might have given the wrong impression. He arrived 5 minutes later, and I was crying. Yep, I was crying. So Jake, being a normal, chill person, assumed something was really wrong, like a death in the family, or a plagiarism accusation. Apparently, USC is really cracking down on ripping off B-movies no one has seen. I had to explain that nothing was wrong. Other than the fact that he doesn't want to be my boyfriend. If you're too embarrassed on my behalf, you can stop reading because it only gets worse. After a full minute of silence, he said, I thought we already talked about this. Cue the waterworks, in case it wasn't already clear to everyone in my hall that I was sobbing. The increased flow of my tears only freaked him out more as he scrambled to explain a fear of commitment and literally said, it's not you, it's me. I kept mumbling that I really liked him and think we could be happy together while he searched around for an escape route. Once I calmed down enough to breathe, I explained that I have issues with anxiety. He started to be more understanding and less freaked out, but he still didn't want to be my boyfriend. Can't imagine why. Who doesn't want a clingy, desperate A-cup following them around? He left like 10 minutes later, having decided we should stop hooking up since it would complicate the movie. I was shocked he still wanted to be in the movie. That seems weird, right? What is wrong with me? And why can I not stop crying?
Jen 2 Ava, subject re-signing off. Ava, no! Please don't cry. I'm sorry I couldn't talk last night. You need to text me code tears when there are tears. Honestly, I don't think that what happened is so bad. Like, is it cringeworthy? Yes. But will it have long-term repercussions on your life? Absolutely not. If anything, this whole exchange just made Jake look bad. What kind of man can't handle a few tears? A boy, that's who. Sorry, I couldn't think of a better metaphor or saying. Seriously, this is very revealing about his character. It's better to know this now. Don't take this the wrong way, but you aren't going to be a low-maintenance girlfriend. There's no reason you should be. You're an emotional person, and you need to be with someone who has the faculties to handle that. Jake does not sound like that guy. In terms of practical next steps, you don't owe this guy anything, other than your oral virginity. If you don't want him in your movie, cast someone else. You're the auteur. He's a piece of shit.
Ava to Jen. Subject, re-signing off. I love how you somehow managed to take my side, regardless of how despicable my behavior. I'm too afraid to recast him. I'd rather attempt to play it cool and act as though he isn't the only guy who has seen me naked.
Jen to Ava. Subject, Treaty of Versailles. Operation Make Alex Look Bad is in full swing. I have now met up with him twice, and both times I was the pinnacle of politeness. Turns out, I do have manners. I guess my rudeness has been a choice and not the product of a poor upbringing. I even bit my tongue when he suggested it was a good idea the NSA can read our emails. He insisted that we meet at his place, which is an off-campus apartment in Beacon Hill, for snobs. The whole place was decorated as though the person who lives there has a good personality, so I have to credit it to his roommate, who was MIA and probably more interesting. We spent the first hour or so talking about everyone at the paper, which was fun, and then we started arguing about the assignment in a very passive-aggressive, adult way. Our second meetup was even more heated, but I kept my cool and made him feel dumb at least once. Instead of attacking, I pulled a Dr. Lily and asked why 4,000 times until his logic started to crack. We're splitting up the research, but he still wants to make calls in the same room. He's obviously very suspicious and wants to hear and steal all of my questions. I found out Alex also has Charlotte as a TA, but thinks she is a, quote, flake posturing as a serious journalist. I resisted informing him that that flake has a great ass. You would be proud of me. I kept all my feels on the inside like a wasp. Those who would give up liberty for security deserve neither. Genevieve Franklin. P.S. What happened to our quote thing? I miss us.
Ava to Jen. Subject, Treaty of Versailles. I'm very proud of you. You're posturing as a normal person not consumed by rage. Here's a crazy idea. Have you ever thought that Alex wants to work in the same room as you because he likes you? Likes you? Or is he gay? Is that the proper terminology for a trans man? Please don't yell at me. Confidence is 10% hard work and 90% delusion. Ava Fay.
Jen to Ava. Subject, Treaty of Versailles. That is the right terminology, but the wrong interpretation. There is nothing romantic going on here. I'm barely attracted to him, and I'm attracted to everyone. I find his personality off-putting, even if his face is inviting. We are at war, and only one of us will survive. It takes a lot of money to look this cheap. Gigi Parton.
4:13 p.m. PST. Emma is dropping out.
Which one is Emma again?
My cool theater major British friend.
Oh, that Emma. She's dropping out of college?
No, of the house.
Why?
She thinks it's all rubbish, because she is British. I'm so pissed. She is my only real friend here.
Are you going to drop out too?
No. I don't know. Should I?
Maybe try talking to a few other people first.
Why does everything bad always happen to me?
This isn't Brexit, Ava. Chill out. Sorry, I know that phrase is a trigger for you. Chill out, not Brexit. 8:42 p.m. EST. Tom wants to take me on a proper date? Men are so dumb.
I thought you liked Tom.
I do, so why waste money on me?
Ask to go somewhere fancy.
Duh!
Ava to Jen. Subject, Hearts of Darkness, a filmmaker's apocalypse. It's finally arrived. D-Day. Call time is 8 a.m. We start in my dorm room and then move outside. Sunday, we spend the entire day at my house. Both my parents have offered to be PAs, although my dad asked for an executive producer credit because he is paying my tuition. I think I'll give it to him so he's something to hang on to in his old age. I haven't seen or spoken to Jake outside of call sheet emails. I have no idea how to act or behave tomorrow. I guess like a director who has bigger things to worry about than her romantic future. I'm just glad this whole short is based on a lack of chemistry between the two leads. If I had to see Jake and Sophia actually hitting it off for two full days, I think I would blow my brains out. Going to try to get some sleep. Yes, I know it's only 9 p.m. Make fun of me later.
Jen to Ava. Subject, Hearts of Darkness, a filmmaker's apocalypse. Link, Catherine Bigelow wins Best Directing 2010 Oscars. Go get him, kid! 2:04 p.m. EST. How's it going? 5:37 p.m. EST. I hope you're crushing it and not suddenly mad at me for something I did 3 years ago. 8:29 p.m. EST. Sending you positive vibes!
9:37 p.m. PST. Thank you, day one down.
How did it go?
Too tired, too type.
Whoa. 11:42 a.m. EST. Your mom just sent me a hot pic of you directing. Nice.
6:51 p.m. PST. Did I look dumb?
No, adorable. I mean, badass and professional.
This has been the craziest weekend. Still not done.
I want a full report.
If I survive. What are you doing?
Fancy date with cis male.
Ooh!
Gen 2 Ava, subject, Lady and the Tramp. I'm the Tramp. Tom is a hilarious attempt at a person. He is 26, but acts 45. He brought me a dandelion as a gift. Also, he rides a Vespa, so I can cross riding a Vespa off my non-existent bucket list. He tried to make me wear a helmet, but I ain't about that life. After a few near-death intersections, we arrived at some pricey Italian joint where all the waiters pretend to be Italian. Tom talked to them in a French accent just to keep the feel international. We ordered pastas and wine, and when they asked to see my ID, Tom laughed and said, "That's gotta feel good." This caused us all to laugh, and the waiter forgot the basic rules of running a drinking establishment. Dinner was fun. I ate all of mine and half of Tom's. Gotta love free stuff and a date with a small appetite. We left the restaurant and started walking around. Tom had heard about some art installation, but I didn't want him to think we were dating, so I asked to have sex instead. I am basically a manic pixie nightmare. He swallowed hard and then tried to hand me a helmet again. Boys never learn. We got to his place and I took off my own clothes because he seems like someone with shaky hands, and I hate pretending not to notice people fucking up. He then took off his cardigan, which felt like a big move. He asked if I wanted coffee while I was naked. I said, sure. We had naked coffee and then kissed. And then we ate miniature scones one of his lovesick students baked for him. After an unreasonably long amount of time sitting bare-assed on a wicker chair, we finally got busy. It was okay. The scones were better. I didn't sleep over because I thought it would be funnier to leave. Charlotte texted me this morning. She's pretending not to know what's up, but we all know what's up, and it's me! Be so good they can't ignore you. G. Martin.
Ava to Jen. Subject, re, Lady and the Tramp. I'm the Tramp. Are you just trying to fill some sort of weird sex quota? Why are you having sex with people you don't even like? Not that you shouldn't like Tom. He actually sounds adorable. I feel sad for Tom. And me. I should be with Tom. Give him my number and stop having emotionally unavailable intercourse with him.
3:44 p.m. EST. If you get a text from a 603 number, it's Tom.
What? Why?
You told me to give him your number.
I was joking and delirious.
Oh, right. Still waiting on my full write-up.
Need a nap, then we'll send.
Dope. Tom digs your Insta.
You're a monster. Ava to Jen. Subject, Paradise Lost. So many things happened in the last 24 hours, I'm not even sure where to start or end. I guess the biggest takeaway is that we finished. We got all the shots and all the scenes and all the lines. There was some dialogue that Sophia kept bumping on, so I played it super cool and told her to rewrite it in her character's voice. Don't worry, I will retain sole writing credit. Curtis and I worked great together. He brought his girlfriend Darcy as a PA and she was super helpful, although she spent most of yesterday talking to my parents. Ruth and Ken had a blast, by the way. My mom decided she would be in charge of Crafty and made a series of inedible dips. My dad kept asking Curtis where to move the lights and offered a plethora of extension cords. It was maximum level adorable. The shoot ended with a Helmer-sponsored pizza party. What a night to remember. Professionally, I think I handled myself well. There were a few minor freakouts, like when Emma spilled soda on her one outfit, but I tried to keep the anxiety on the inside. Curtis helped a lot because he is one of those people you could actually describe as centered. I hope to work exclusively with him for the remainder of my career. He doesn't know this yet. I'm trying not to come on too strong. Personally, I was a complete mess. Before the shoot, I decided to not engage. I would be civil, but not friendly. Nice, but aloof. In control, not spiraling. I assumed Jake would be the same. Nope.
Jake was a complete flirt. And not just to me. He spent the entire weekend leapfrogging between Sophia and me. I think he had his hand on someone's back at all times. It was infuriating. At first, I thought he was doing this to punish me in some way. But then I realized it wasn't intentional. He just loves attention. And Sophia gives it to him. Even my mom laughed at all his dumb jokes. I wanted to vomit. I can't believe I ever liked him. I can't believe I still like him. If only Curtis didn't have a girlfriend and was physically attractive. Maybe I will just be a recluse filmmaker who never marries but has her finger on the pulse of human emotion, despite never experiencing anything other than third base. Life is suffering. Budva. P.S. Tom didn't even text me. My life is pathetic.
Gen 2 Ava, subject re Paradise Lost. Not to minimize the bastardness that is Chinatown Jake 98, but my big takeaway from this is your parents throwing a rap pizza party. I can just see them at the Oscars in a few years handing out gift bags with your face on it. At what point will they quit their jobs and start working for you full time? I'm so proud of you, sweet baby angel. I can't wait to see a cut. What are you going to do with it? You should post it on YouTube. YouTube can change lives. You could go viral. Try to forget about Jake. You officially don't have to see or worry about him anymore, except in the editing room, but I'm sure he will look bad on screen due to his small head. You made a movie! Genevieve Goldman to Ava Helmer, 2017. P.S. I didn't actually give Tom your phone number. I'm not a psycho. P.P.S. Although I can if you want. 12:08 a.m. EST. Just had a thought.
Congratulations!
Funny. Did your parents really not know about you and Jake the whole time?
Ha, you're right. They knew everything. That's why I was especially mad at my mom for having no loyalty.
Everything?
Gross. No. PG version.
Do you think you will ever keep anything from them ever?
I kept the fingering to myself.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. Gen 2 Ava, subject, the man. And by the man, I mean my editor, Kent. I went into the office to run my ideas for the security article past him, and he asked where Alex was. I shrugged. I'm not his keeper. Kent then let out that disappointed dad sigh, which I only recognized from the movies, because my dad is too out of it to be disappointed. Kent then launched into a tirade about teamwork and subconscious sabotage. He seems to think I am intentionally making enemies at the Beacon, so I have someone to blame if I don't make staff. Don't freak. I'm still totally going to make staff. He told me I should let my work speak for itself and not get bogged down in office politics. So I immediately asked, what has Alex been saying? And then he laughed in my face. He thought this question proved my paranoia since Alex has said nothing about me. What a fucking power move. I immediately switched gears and pledged my undying loyalty to the paper, the student body, and my country. He told me to stop being a smartass. The meeting ended with him telling me to come back with Alex if I wanted to talk about the article. Did I mention that I could see his chest hair the whole time? He really needs to get better fitting clothes.
Ava to Jen, subject, re the man. I don't know how to respond to this without setting you off, so just imagine I am sitting next to you, nodding my support and gently touching your arm.
11:36 p.m. EST. What was that about?
Nothing.
When have I ever been set off?
Whenever a male or authority figure tells you what to do.
So you think Kent had a right to yell at me?
Did he yell or did he talk?
Like a patronizing little bitch voice is any better than a yell.
I don't care about Kent. I'm just saying sometimes you overreact. I can't say whether or not that happened here because I wasn't there.
Right, you weren't.
How long are you going to be mad about this?
TBD.
I'll wait. Ava to Jen, subject, remember me? Hey, it's Ava, Helmer, from all those years of being your best friend. I just wanted to reach out and say, hey, I think you are really great, and here is a list of why I am really great, too. 1. Super accessible for all of your friendship needs. Sparse social calendar and lots of free time mean I'm able to put you first. 2. Brutal honesty. Almost, definitely. Compulsively honest. So honest, you will never have to ask for my opinion because I offer it without thinking. 3. Cool parents who love to buy you t-shirts with funny sayings. Free pizza parties also included. 4. Terrible style. In no danger of me asking to borrow your clothes because I can't pull them off.
nor would I want to. 5, super needy, which makes you feel needed. Not ready for kids, but want the responsibility of emotionally caring for a human being? Ava is the friend for you. I hope you enjoyed your BFF refresh.